Falls to Portland.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
The next four are Fabian Ayala, Jerry Davis, Bill Kowalsik, and Daniel Beckwith. And they'll be followed by, I believe it's Chiki Akil, Bree Smith, Luis Guerrera, and Eddie Lincoln.
Fabian, do you want to begin?
Sure. Good morning. My name is Fabian Ayala. I work for Art Cortez Construction as well. I'm a second-term apprentice, and I'm here to support the workforce for minorities and women. I've been given the opportunity to be an apprentice. I've been a second-term apprentice now, and I believe this has given me the opportunity to not only be a successful carpenter, but also build a career and be able to raise a family, and I'm thankful for that. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here today.
Thanks. Thanks for your testimony. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners, and fellow citizens. My name is Bill Kowalsik. I'm the construction manager at Portland Youth Builders. I've been here for 11 years. I worked for about 30 years as a carpenter. PYB is a high school and a student in a state-certified pre-apprenticeship program. Our students are all very low income. 50% are students of color. And it's no secret that the construction, especially the commercial sector of the construction industry, has largely been the bastion of white men. I grew up in Dearborn, Michigan. I was culturally prepared to enter both the auto industry and the construction industry through my family. My grandfather was a pattern maker. His brother was a cabinet maker. Most of my uncles were tool and die workers. My father was a tool designer before he worked his way through college when I was a young boy. So I learned to use power tools and all hand tools by the time I was 14 years old. I did that through my family. But I was also culturally prepared. I learned the talk, the walk, the money, the industry connections, the expectations, and the relationships that led me to success. This is what pre-apprenticeship does. Pre-apprenticeship is a process where we're able to bring to students and young people and people who have been left out, provide them that cultural support to be successful in an industry that's initially foreign to them. This CBA, I believe, is a huge, huge step in making more formal the relationship between our community and support of the pre-apprenticeship programs that really are potentially a really large-scale conveyor belt into the industry. And I thank you for listening to this resolution and giving it the kind of thought it deserves. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi, welcome.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Jerry Davis. I'm 22 years old. I'm a student at Portland Youth Builders, and I'm in the construction program. I wake up every morning at 5 o'clock, leaving from Vancouver to get to school on time, ready, and prepared. Part of my year-long training is building houses from the ground up. Our program prepares us for success in apprenticeship and expectations on commercial job sites. After being placed, PYB will help me mentor me in my apprenticeship. I ask that you accept our request, please, because it will help us have more opportunities in the construction industry. Once I complete PYB, I'll be ready to work. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations as well. Next four.
Are Chiki Akil, Bree Smith, Luis Guerrera, and Eddie Lincoln. And they'll be followed by Nick Sovey, Bree Smith, Pat Trice, and Tony Jones.
Eddie already testified. So. Hi, welcome. Would you like to begin?
Sure. My name is Bree Smith. I'm an Oregon Tradeswomen graduate, pre-apprenticeship class. And about 2 years ago, I left an abusive relationship. No family, no resources, working two minimum wage jobs to support my children and myself. I couldn't get out of it. No matter how much skills and training I tried to get, I could not get out of that minimum wage job. Because Oregon Tradeswomen so generously gave to me the training and skills that I needed to go into the trades, I was able to graduate, complete, and get a job immediately when I graduated their program. I work to rework on aerospace parts right now. I have a family wage job. I can support myself and my kids. It's a fantastic feeling. And just the training that they gave me was invaluable. And we're Portland. If we accept this agreement, others will follow. And in closing, I'd like to say that it's not that we can do it, it's that we've been doing it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Luis Guerra, and I'm here on behalf of CAUSA, Oregon's Immigrant Rights Organization. We are an organization that works to defend and advance the immigrant rights at a local, state, and national level. Our immigrant community is among the historically marginalized communities in this country, and we continue to struggle for civil and human rights alongside other people of color and women. The community benefits agreement will benefit our community as it will give our historically marginalized communities the tools and opportunities necessary to take a step forward. We need to support any plan that seeks to overcome the barriers that underrepresented communities face. Some of those barriers will be removed by the passing of the community benefits agreement. Women and people of color have lived with huge disparities and injustices in all areas of their lives. By adopting the community benefits agreement, we will take one step forward in supporting those that have been marginalized and oppressed time and time again. City Council has the opportunity to create history by passing a resolution that is first of its kind, a resolution that includes a high standard for working standards, wages and benefits, as well as increased workforce training, employment, and contracting opportunities for women and people of color. As a representative of CAUSA, a resident of the city of Portland, an immigrant, and a man of color, I urge all of you to do the right thing and pass the community benefits resolution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Next four.
I believe these are the last four who signed up are Nick Sobey, Pat Trice, Tony Jones, and Michael Martin.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Nick Sovey. I'm the Executive Director of Rose Community Development, and I'm also a member of the East Portland Action Plan Economic Development Subcommittee. Community benefits agreements are one of the goals of EPAP's Economic Development Action Plan, and we're really pleased that Commission is considering this and hope you adopt it. Creation of family wage jobs in East Portland is one of the top priorities for EPAP. EPAP's indebted to City Council for your support of various public investments in our neighborhoods, including streets, sidewalks, parks, and housing. We'd like to work with Council to maximize the public benefit of these projects by hiring East Portland residents, people of color, women, and people with low incomes. In the outer southeast neighborhoods where Rose works, between 2000 and 2010, the population of African Americans tripled, the population of Latinos doubled, and the population of Asians increased by more than 80%. Positive steps for Portland could include setting specific separate numerical participation goals for community of color and women, requirement that a high percentage of workers be city residents. It would be even better to target residents of low-income neighborhoods, and creation of a specific committee for oversight. I wanted to mention that EPAP had a really positive experience with the Park Bureau in staffing the mobile playgrounds this summer, and I think this is a really good first step, and thank you for your consideration.
Just one, coming out of the Culley plan, we're going to host a gathering of folks to talk about community benefit approaches as it relates to geography.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you're involved with that. Just rest assured on all the goals and everything related to that. We think what we have in the plan is legal, but we are definitely being aggressive. So mm-hmm. What's in the plan is what the city attorneys believe we can defend and defend in court. So.
Understood.
Thank
you.
Anybody else wish to testify? Welcome back. Anybody else? Last opportunity. Yeah, come on up. Mr. Edwards. All right.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Thank you very much for the opportunity to offer testimony. I'm 100%, well, 99.99% in agreement with your community benefits agreement. I would like to suggest, I'm not very familiar with the HUD program or rules that you suggested be part of the agreement. My understanding on the HUD is that it's limited only to the City of Portland. If that's the case, I would suggest to look back into the HUD, because if the disparity study was done throughout, then it would not be comparing apples to apples and then limiting to only contractors who live in the HUD zone and expanded to, in general, Latinos that live in other areas or other communities or other contractors groups rather than just HUD. The other thing is, on the overview committee, one of my concerns will be, and I would hope that that be part of you overseeing, that when you're talking about $15 million, that there is very few minority contractors at that level, and that doesn't happen what happened in the audit disparity study, where one or two DBE contractors take the bulk of the money, and then is considered utilization for all. And that would be all.
And both in the equity strategy, the earlier the response to the disparity study, that we share that passion. I think the community benefits agreement pushes us forward in a positive way. But we need to have the experience of these two pilot projects with the oversight to be able to further improve and fine-tune. So I think your points are really important.
And just take a look into the HUD limitations to that.
We'll do it.
Thank you for your comments. Could you give us your name for the record,
yes,
please?
I'm sorry. Marcella Alcantar.
Sorry,
and
I
provide professional services, so that's why my concern on the HUD, because as a professional services,
right,
serving the construction limits me how many professional minorities I can raise,
right,
and tutor and so forth.
Thank you very much. Mr. Edwards?
I was going to defer to Mr. Royer, but
I'll... Oh, Mr. Royer? Sorry.
I think we should say Senator Boyer.
Yeah.
Right.
We sat next to each other on the Senate floor.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and council people. I'm former State Senator Bob Boyer. I have over 40 years in organized labor. I was the president of the union that run the tugboats, so I made sure you got your items up the river. But now I'm the chairperson of Constructing Hope. When we got on the board, we were able to recruit tradespeople. So we believe in having the best apprentice people that money could buy. Our new value is in the selection for people to be successful in the trades. We love Portland, and we want Portland to be one of the best. We support the agreement. And supporting that, we want to make sure that we have our young people prepared to build Portland and to make it one of the best cities in the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Mayor, City Council. And I certainly appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Keith Edwards. I've been an IBEW member and electrician since August 1st of 1970. I've enjoyed health care benefits since that date, and also I'm looking forward to enjoying my pension benefits as well. I've certainly had a good wage. All IBEW members have that opportunity. They have those benefits available to them. And I think all workers really should have those benefits available to them as well. In putting this agreement together, it's been a very difficult effort. It's been a collaboration of many different groups. I think I want to also make sure that I give accolades to the Metropolitan Alliance for Workforce Equity, those partners that have been working on this for over 2 years now. And also, especially to Jim Francesconi and Maurice Romming, who have shepherded this through. There's been a lot of anxious moments. We didn't think we were going to get there. Thought we were at an impasse. But they did some back scenes, behind the scenes work that was able to make this happen and to make it a collaborative effort that everyone could live with. The primary goal was to make sure that the disparity in construction was addressed and to make sure the minority contractors would have an opportunity to grow their companies and participate on a level playing field. Certainly not lost on that was also that the workers that work for those companies should make sure that they have some dignity at work as well. And that was one of the primary goals. In doing that, we came up with this agreement, this community benefits agreement. And I certainly want to also thank the mayor for encouraging us to make sure we got this done and get it done in a timely fashion so we could move forward and not have it drag on and drag out while people were unemployed and not being able to take advantage of the opportunities that exist in the city. So again, I want to thank the city council and hopefully supporting this and encourage you to support this. But I also want to say that I hope that those that are perhaps have some reluctance or are not in agreement with the community benefits agreement will come on as partners and realize that this can benefit the community. And working together, we can all succeed. Thank you.
Okay, and thanks for all your leadership, Mr. Edwards. We appreciate it. Hi.
Once again, Doug Tweedy with the Carpenters. And thank you for this opportunity to do just a little bit of cleanup. I think there's two very important points that haven't been brought out today. One is that this agreement, this resolution, is not intended, designed, or expected to replace current workforce. But irregardless of that, we all know that the workforce is going to be shrinking because all of us people with gray hair that have been around for a while, the baby boomers are going to be leaving over the next number of years. There's going to be huge demands, and there's demands today, and it will only continue to grow for more people in our industries, more qualified people in our industry, and this will help create more diversity amongst the workforce going forward. The second point that I want to make is that certainly from my understanding, this is not to lower the expectations of the workforce. This That's is to right. give opportunity to people that are willing and want to commit to come in and learn these skilled trades and achieve a career in the industry. And certainly there's a lot of people out there. Not everyone that will have an opportunity because of this resolution or this collective bargaining agreement will be successful. But that's life. We all know that. To me, the whole idea here is that those that are willing to commit, that have it within themselves, with some help, with some opportunity, can come in and be right. successful and help create a stronger middle class and therefore a stronger city of Portland for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I may, I know Doug said this was a collective bargaining agreement. It's not a collective bargaining agreement. I think we get confused because in our life, when we see CBA, we see collective bargaining agreement. But this was a collectively bargained agreement.
A few letters there are important, huh? Thank you all very
CCBA.
Much.
CCBA.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay. Carla, unless there's council discussion with more staff. Carla, can you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Well, without sounding like this is an Academy Award speech, I want to thank Mayor Adams for his leadership, Christine Moody at Purchasing, I'm sure, and Tracy Reeves, Jim Van Dyke, and our city attorney's office. So that's the primary city cast, but then there's a whole host of community people out there that really have worked hard. Jim Francesconi, all the unions that were represented here today, and I really want to thank the young people, younger people who are here to speak firsthand about the benefits of apprenticeship, journeyman opportunities. I think Mr. Tweedy hit it right on the head there. There is lots of opportunities in the trades, good paying jobs, supporting families with benefits. And this community benefits agreement is also a good opportunity to make these things reality for more people. who live and work in our city. So this is a great thing. I'm really pleased that we're going to move forward. I also want to thank Commissioner Leonard, I guess, for finding the first two projects to try this out on. I know as Commissioner of the Bureau of Environmental Services, I was looking hard and long at our capital program, and unfortunately we had just completed our biggest capital project in the city history about a year ago, the big pipe project. So there are not as many large capital projects right now in our list, but there were in the Water Bureau's list, and this is a great opportunity to make these things work and to provide opportunities for people for good jobs. So thanks to all, and please to vote aye.
Leonard?
Thank you to all the very same people that Commissioner Saltzman mentioned, and as he alluded to, in just a few minutes, we will be voting on the very first contract, a $57 million contract that incorporates elements of this agreement within it. So many of you that are sitting here hopefully will be employed by the action of the council in just a few minutes. I too want to especially thank Jim. I had the pleasure and the benefit of sitting next to him right here for 2 years. And his focus and our goal to make this a more inclusive community didn't change one bit when he left being an elected official and went back to the private sector. And I've always admired that about you, Jim. Thank you very much. Please to vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, I'm very proud to be sitting in the commissioner number one seat that was occupied by Jim Francesconi and then Sam Adams. And this was an issue that Sam campaigned on when he was running for mayor and I was running for my first term. And it has been a very complicated matter. I first learned about it when walking the picket line at OHSU 10 years ago and having the carpenters and the electricians and others come and walk with us and tell us nurses about the issues with construction management. So I thank everybody who's been involved, former Commissioner Francesconi for his leadership and certainly the mayor for making sure that it has happened in our term on this council. It does contain a second issue, as Commissioner Leonard alluded to, of the Kelly Butte contract, and that we will discuss later. This resolution is about the community benefits agreement, and it's very, very important. I thank every single person who came here, sat here, and is silently in support, and more particularly those in the community who've been part of negotiating this agreement. It's particularly important that there's a community oversight committee or a community management union oversight committee that's going to be monitoring this process, and that there's a provision in the resolution that a report will come back to council. So this is a pilot project. This is a good step along the way. It probably isn't all we can do, but it's pushing the envelope. And as Doug Tweedy, the president of Carpenters, said, this resolution is about opportunity. And that is also what the Office of Equity is about. I appreciate Tay James giving advice on this agreement. We're moving forward in many, many ways in our community as a result of some of the actions of this council. I'm very proud to vote aye.
Fish?
First, I want to thank everybody that took time to join us today who's wearing a T-shirt. I'll let you in on a little secret. It is usually the case when this place is packed with people wearing T-shirts that they are not happy with something we're about to do. My colleagues will attest. So that when we see the T-shirt, normally the initial reaction is high alert.
That's right.
To have this many people wear the T-shirt and come in support of something is really terrific. And so thank you to everyone who took time out of your busy schedule to be here. I'm not going to say anything about Jim Francesconi. I'm sorry. I already have a very challenging relationship with Jim, and I don't want his head to get any bigger. But
well, he's the only guy here you haven't run against.
You two are going to come.
That's all I can say. We'll take that up in mediation,
okay,
Commissioner.
Okay.
We were told. I thought we had an agreement to work those out privately.
I'm sorry. But, I apologize.
All right, I am not in his office. I didn't serve next to him. But I do have the benefit of leading a bureau, the Parks Bureau, that won a gold medal last year, and we won a gold medal in part because Jim Francesconi had a vision for a 2020 plan for a Parks Board and a Parks Foundation. We are a much better system because of his leadership. So I'm very proud to acknowledge that part of Jim's resume. I just want to say, as a commissioner, to see my friends in labor and industry and advocacy come together around something is beautiful. I hope it becomes contagious, and maybe it'll start happening at the federal level as well. The question that's before us today is an agreement and an approach, but the question that skeptics are going to ask is the city really going to do what it takes on the ground to make change? And I think what's also encouraging today is we've heard that in Gray's Landing and South Waterfront, we're exceeding our goals. And also, I think it's significant that with the same coalition working together in the largest parks project that the city is undertaking in the River District, the prime contractor is a minority contractor. And that was not always the case on those kinds of projects. So there is steady progress being made. Now, I've received some correspondence before today from people who raised a question about whether the disparity study supports what we're doing. And what I learned in my exchange with Christine in our prior conversation is those who say that this agreement somehow has a constitutional infirmity are really saying that the city's existing policies are constitutionally infirm. And we've gone down that path, and the reason we do things like a disparity study and the reason that we fine-tune our policies is to follow the law. And I don't want reasonable people can agree or disagree with this approach, but people need to know that the city of Portland scrupulously follows the law and that this agreement, in our view, does pass muster. But to those who say, well, you know, why even have aspirational goals in good faith? Look at the areas where it's currently working, and for those of you who serve, like Marcella, on the disparity study oversight group, imagine if they weren't in place. Imagine how much more pronounced the disparity would be if they were not in place. People often forget that piece. There's a film that's going to come out this fall called American Winter, which we're all going to have a chance to see. And it's a documentary by two Emmy Award-winning filmmakers about 10 families that they learned of through calls to 211, which is our nonprofit social service provider. And what's extraordinary is they are 10 middle-class families. And each story is gut-wrenching, but the common denominator in all the stories is a pink slip, an unanticipated healthcare emergency, a foreclosure, and something else that happened, and a middle-class family finding that they are very vulnerable. And the story is about Portland families, but it's called American Winter because it is not just Portland that is experiencing an American winter. It is the nation that is experiencing this winter. And without getting too corny, the hope is that this film and the discussion about the pressure on the middle class will lead to an American Spring. But an American Spring will not happen unless we link arms and do something different. And I believe this approach and this agreement and other things we're doing about providing real meaningful work opportunities, real meaningful wages and benefits, and chances to maintain middle-class lifestyle is important work. So, Christine and your team, thank you. People that I don't think fully appreciate how hard your job is, and I don't mean just dealing with us. These are complicated issues. And Mayor Adams, to the comments that have been made before, you did say, as with education, that this was a priority for you, and you did follow through. And this agreement is further proof of that. And our job now is to make sure that in the two in the projects which have been selected, and Commissioner Leonard, we applaud you for that, that these are successful and that we continue to fine-tune them so that they can become used even more pervasively across our system. Today, I'm proud to cast my vote aye.
Adams.
Well, thanks for the kind words of my colleagues and picking up where Commissioner Fish left off. We are piloting the CBA on two projects. The CBA is the way we will be doing business on large projects. It is, we know that it is not perfect, and we feel like we have studied it enough. We've studied it actually as much as we can, and now we have to go try it out and learn some things you can only learn by going out and giving it a try. But our efforts, as everyone else on the council has stated more eloquently than I, are This is putting our shoulder behind our equity efforts. This is about us taking another step to become the city of the most equal opportunity for all Portlanders. So for everyone that has been here for this hearing, thank you. I want to underscore my thanks to the Honorable Jim Francesconi. I, too, want to thank Christine Moody again, Tracy Reeves again, Peter Pariseau in my office, and the Economic Development team. This has been hard, but it's been worth the effort. And now we need to go out and make Portland a more equitable place. Please to vote aye.
Yeah.
Council is going to be taking a compassion break for 7 minutes, not six, not eight, seven.
Your shoes are cool.